Some of the funniest stories I've ever heard were from a neighbor of ours who's an airline pilot. It's back a number of years ago when we lived in Crystal Lake, Illinois, in the far western suburbs of Chicago. Far, we are 50 miles out or something. Kind of like you all from San Francisco. Maybe a little further even. But anyway, his name was Matt, and he shared some doozies, I mean, just wonderful stories. And he said all of them were true. I have no way to prove it, but he said, he swore up and down that they were true. And I recalled one especially when I read today's scripture reading from Matthew. And the way he told the story was that some well-known man was seated in the first class part of the air of the plane, of the jet. And this man who was in first class, he had a problem with his meal. Now, this is back when the airlines served real food. They served a full meal on any flight that was more than a couple hours long, right? But he rang for the stewardess, the flight attendant. And when she came to his seat, he started complaining. He complained that, you know, the food was cold, it wasn't what he ordered, nothing was right. You know, and the stewardess apologized, but apparently that wasn't enough for this man, and indignantly he replied, "Well, do you know who I am? Do you have any idea who I am?" She said, "Just a minute, please. Excuse me, please." She walked to the front of the plane. She picked up the microphone and announced for the entire plane to hear, "The gentleman in seat 3A doesn't seem to know who he is. If anyone knows and can help him remember, will you please come to his assistance?" Don't you love it? Oh, yes. Here's to that. Hats off to that stewardess. Woo! But who do you say that I am? Though this question is posed to Jesus' immediate audience, his disciples, it's also a powerful query for us today. Who do we say Jesus is? And the question is even more resonant if we embrace the full meaning of what it means to say or to speak in this context. For it just may be that the lives we live in light of our hopes of the Messiah are just as critical as the words that we speak. No matter how true or elegant those words are. That is, as we answer this potentially life-altering question, the shape of our lives may be as important as the words our lips voice. Now, our biblical reading today from the Gospel of Matthew suggests that Jesus was taking a reflective moment in his life and his ministry, a pause, a time of evaluation. And as I paused to reflect on this reading, I especially appreciated ideas and commentary from a Reverend Carl Glazier. One of the great joys of the internet is that there's lots of resources now as we put together and think about Scripture. Well, Jesus had been traveling with his disciples. He's been teaching and listening, reaching out to people, and a divine energy was being released into the world through him. An energy that included passion for justice, healing and compassion for all people, acceptance for the unaccepted. Yes, see, something special was happening in the life of Jesus. And yet even when good things are happening, it's important, if not essential, to step back every now and then, right? And to ask ourselves, what's really happening here? Where have I been? Where do I want to go? What's my life all about? And in a similar way, Jesus began asking the disciples reflective questions. He asks, "What are people saying about me?" It's a good question. And the disciples begin rattling off the results of the most recent public opinion poll. I mean, a certain percentage of people say that you're John the Baptist, or at least like John the Baptist. And some think you're the second coming of the great prophet Elijah. And still others, they believe you're stern and austere like Jeremiah, one of the other great prophets from our tradition. In other words, Jesus, people are beginning to put you up on that Mount Rushmore of our Jewish prophets. You know, you're really getting places, Jesus. Isn't this fantastic? How easy it would have been to stop there. Well, that's going good, right? Jesus was trending. He was going viral. He was lighting up the social media of the first century. It all looked so positive. And what more could he have wanted? And yet, Jesus wasn't taking a poll, was he? Jesus was trying to take the disciples to a deeper place. And so that's why he turned to them and he asked them a more penetrating question. Well, who do you say that I am? That's when Peter, always ready for the quick answer, he says, well, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then, in a way, he was right. He was right, but the words were right. But then Jesus asked him to tell no one. Don't say a word. Why? Why would Jesus say that? I mean, why does Jesus silence a perfectly good answer? Well, it's a puzzle, to be sure. But I think it suggests that you can say the right theological words, but that doesn't guarantee you have the right theological content. Because after you say the words, you then have to understand the meaning of them. What does it mean to say that Jesus is the Christ? More and more, what makes sense to me is this. Christ is not a person. It's not just a title, and it's definitely not the last name of Jesus. No, Christ is a word. Christ is a word that names the divine energy that was released into the world through the life of Jesus. Just as stars explode and new planets are formed, so in the life of Jesus, a certain kind of Christ energy was constellated, as it were, and released into the world. And this energy is still changing people. It's nothing less than the energy or the presence of God. Compassion exploded into the world through the life of Jesus. Unconditional love and inexhaustible grace exploded into the world through the life of Jesus. Creative, transforming, and inspiring goodness was released into the world through the life of Jesus. So much so that, and I love this image that Cole Grazer used, we can see Jesus as a Christ burst, as a Christ burst, a burst of God energy that continues to shape the world, one heart, one person, one community at a time. Anyone can say that Jesus is the Christ. That's easy. The words are easy, but can you find the energy? It's the energy of Christ that matters most. On 2 days during the year, a certain doctor goes upstairs to his closet and takes out of it a coat that's out of style. It's an old coat. One sleeve is patched. It's kind of tawdry and dirty. And when asked why he wears it on certain days of the year, he replied that once as an intern, as a young man interning in New York City in Lower Manhattan, he got a call one very blistery and cold wintry night. A little girl came banging on his door. He threw on his jacket. He went out over to a stinking tenement across the street, up some very dirty stairs into a one-bedroom apartment where a little boy lay terribly sick. His mother and father were hovering over him, and he did, he did what he could for the malnourished child, but in spite of his best efforts, the little boy died then and there in front of him. The doctor was shivering, not only from the hurt of the boy dying, but because there was no heat in the apartment. And the boy's father took off his coat, this the very coat the doctor was wearing, and gave it to him and said, "Here, you're cold. Thank you for trying to save our boy." The doctor knew then and there that was the only way that this couple could possibly thank him, and he didn't have the heart to refuse him or to give it back. And now that he's a prominent doctor, he's fairly wealthy, once or twice a year, on the anniversary of that boy's death And on the day that he got his diploma to be a doctor, he wears that coat to remind himself what it's all about. That is Christ energy. Brother Juniper once asked St. Francis, "Teach me to preach as eloquently as you. I'm not very good with words." "I'll teach you to preach more eloquently than even I," said Francis. "Meet me tomorrow, and I shall teach you to preach." Well, Brother Juniper dutifully met Francis early the next morning, ready to go. But to Juniper's surprise, they began walking through town. They walked through the marketplace, smiling at the laborers, at the merchants, at the children. They helped an old woman carry her wash up the stairs. They walked. And finally, an exasperated Brother Juniper asked, "Well, Francis, when shall you teach me to preach?" Replied Francis, "Why, we are preaching." That is Christ energy. Every time that we treat another person with dignity or respect, we bring a little compassion to another. Every time we bring a little compassion to another human being, especially a human being that's hurting and broken, and every time we offer love as a way of life, we bring Christ to others. And the great Christ burst that started centuries ago continues in our time and in our place. The Italian writer Ignazio Salone had the line in one of his books that goes like this: "If we treat one another in the same way that Jesus treated people, it will be as if Jesus never left this world." Amen? Can I hear an amen? Thinking about Christ as creative, transforming, inspiring energy cuts in two different directions for those of us who profess the Christian faith. On the one hand, it's a gift. It's a gift that we receive. That's moreover, it's a gift that we all need. Because we're all broken by the challenges of life. I mean, we're lonely, or we're insecure, or we're anxious, we're hurt, or we're angry, or we're bitter. And yet to believe in this great bursting energy of Christ is to believe that love is at the heart of life, in spite of all these things. And so is grace. And so is forgiveness. And so is kindness. And we're all desperate for it, for those things. All of us. Every one of us. And yes, so we receive this Christ energy. But we're also called to share it. We're called to share it with others. And while I know some people like to equate sharing Christ with talking about Christ or quoting scripture or trying to convert someone to Christianity, I have always been of the persuasion that we share Christ by doing Christ-like things in the world, by how we live. That is to say, we find ways that are right for us to release Christ into the universe. There's an often told Jewish tale about a rabbi asking his students how they can tell when it's a new day, when a new day has dawned upon the earth. One crafty student said, "Well, you can tell it's a new day when there's enough light to see the difference between an apple tree and a pear tree." Good answer, but it's not the right answer. And another student said, "Well, Rabbi, you can tell it's a new day when you look down, you can look down the road and you can tell whether or not the animal up ahead is a fox or a dog." That's a good answer, but it's not the right answer. The rabbi looked around at his students. He paused a long time. And he finally said, "It's a new day when there's enough light that allows you to see the face of another human being. And looking upon that face, you see your sister or brother. And until that happens, it's still night." And for the purposes of today's message, I would tweak it just a bit And I would simply offer, it's a new day every time I can see the face of Christ in another human being. In the homeless people I pass in Petaluma or Forestville, in the troubled church member I see on Sunday, in the clerk at the grocery store checkout, the day we see Christ in others is the day that it's a new day. To say Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is so easy, but to discover the energy, to receive it, and to share it, that's really what it's all about. I think the writer Thomas Merton was onto something years ago when he said that Jesus was like a great magnifying glass, and through him, the light of God came to the world in a concentrated and beautiful way. And when we place our dry and brittle lives under that light, the spirit of each person comes ablaze with newness. To me, that is the power of Jesus Christ. Divine light, divine energy, and divine love that still combusts with the complexity of the human heart. To know that energy and to share it with others is everything. It's everything. Let us pray. Everlasting God, we believe that the energy of Jesus is still radiating in our world, and that a Christ burst happens every time we love our neighbor, every time we bring compassion to another human being, every time we offer forgiveness and hope to a fellow traveler. May Christ become more than a person of the past. May he become our living reality, ever fresh, ever real, ever shining in our world. Amen.